Today's episode is sponsored by Umore. Umore helps us better understand and uplift our mental health with instant screening, data tracking, insights, and targeted exercises. I've had the pleasure of having both co-founders on the podcast, and I really admire what they do and love their vision behind the company. Umore is the AI-powered mental well-being tracker that helps you build positive habits, change behaviors, and share your progress with friends, family, and physicians. Umore's vision is to make mental health as seamless and as accessible as possible. Its purpose is to act as a support and prevention tool and to provide you with the data and insights to help you develop an awareness of your current mental state and stress levels. The way it works is very simple. You download the app for free on your smartphone. You fill in a quick questionnaire that will assess how you're currently feeling, which will act as a starting point, and it will check in with you daily to track your well-being over time and so that you are able to see your progression day by day. Umore also gives you access to many evidence-based exercises which are designed to help you live your happiest and healthiest life. The goal of Umore is to be your friend, is there to help and support you in your mental health journey. And to find out more, you can check out their website at umore.app. Hey guys, welcome to Hope It Helps. How's everyone doing? It's going to be a solo episode this week. As you guys all know, it was World Mental Health Day a few days ago, and it's kind of been like Mental Health Awareness Week, so I thought this would be a great opportunity to discuss all things mental health, shed some new perspective, hopefully, on the matter, share with you some of my own experiences and what I can do to help you, and if you need help, what are the best ways to find help. But before we get into everything, guys, I wanted to announce today I'm super excited to be partnering with Umore. And I said from the beginning of the podcast that I was going to be very selective on the sponsors and the partnerships I make because I never wanted to advertise something that I didn't believe in or, you know, tell you guys about something that I haven't used myself. So I wanted to start off this episode by talking about my own mental health story and my own journey with mental health, because I think the stories are important, and the more you share, the better it is for everyone, because there's a good chance someone out there has either gone through something similar, experienced something similar. And a lot of times when we're struggling with our mental health, even if we have the support around us and, you know, there are people we can reach out to and so on, there's still times where you can feel completely alone and isolated. You kind of feel like, oh, I'm the only one that is going through this. No one has gone through this before. No one would really understand, you know, where I'm at and what I'm going through. So stories like this help people not feel alone. And I think that's something very important because it makes it a lot more relatable, and it makes you realize that it's not just you. You know, everyone goes through stuff like this. So basically, for a couple of years, I think starting from 2017 onwards, I had this thought in my head that I don't know where it was coming from or why, but I was like, maybe I should, you know, do therapy. Maybe I should try therapy. And to be honest, at the time, I didn't have a reason to do it. There was just something inside my head or inside me that I, this is constant like nagging sensation that like, you should go to therapy, but I didn't know for what. So I never really did. Over the years from like 2017 to now, I really worked on myself, you know, made personal development a big part of my life, and developed a completely new mindset and so on. But it wasn't until, I'd say, last year that I actually went to therapy. So in 2020, I went through the loss of a family member, and there was a couple other things going on in my life that were really, really affecting my mental health. And I remember I was just like unmotivated, unproductive. I was just sad. I was just in a very dark place, and I really couldn't see a light at the end of the tunnel during that time. And the reason I talk about mental health so much and I think it's so important is because I've experienced, you know, that low, just like other people have. I'm not anything special, but I saw how having such a bad state of, you know, mental well-being, how much that affected my life in all aspects, how much it affected my relationships, my work, my physical health, every single thing. It affected every single aspect of my life. Whether that showed or not, I can't answer that. You'd have to ask the people I was with at the time. So I've been there when it's a real struggle. But even then, I still didn't go to therapy. I was still, I guess, in this denial state. I'm like, oh no, I thought I could fix this myself. And then last year during the pandemic, I kind of reached like the end. I was like, you know what? I've tried everything myself. I've done everything in my power that to change my mindset or to, you know, address to not feel this way. And I was like, you know what? I finally got to the point. I'm like, I need help. So I went to therapy. Now, I still didn't know what I was going to therapy for. I just knew I needed help. I didn't want to feel that way anymore. And only after going to therapy, I went to psychotherapy or talk therapy. I did 4 sessions. It was very useful. It gave me a whole new perspective on what my issue was and the whole issue that I'd been carrying my whole life and wasn't even aware of. I felt it, but I couldn't name it. I didn't know. I couldn't label it. I didn't know what it was. Was this belief that I'm not enough. And when I found that out, everything made so much more sense. When I was reflecting back, there are so many points in my life that I felt, you know, like, oh, Khaled has to prove himself more. Khaled has to do more just to be on the same level as anyone else. You know, I felt that me just taking me as I am wasn't enough. I had to always prove myself more to, you know, whether it was in relationships, whether it was at work. So, and I realized when that started, which was when I was a kid and going back to school and stuff, and, you know, thinking about like grades and you compare yourself to other people or sports and like so many different things. And I think we all go through this at some point, since from a very young age we're taught to compare to other people. And when you start comparing yourself to other people, I think it can get very toxic for yourself, because all your validation comes from if you're on the same level as someone else. You know, it's not, so if I get like a B, someone else gets an A, for example, I'm not enough. You know what I mean? I'm not as good. I'm not as worthy. I'm not as deserving of feeling loved. Not from that example, but I'm saying those are the kind of thoughts that I was going through. Those are the kind of thoughts that I had. And I think a lot of people experience this at some point in their life, their feeling of I'm not enough. Now, there's different levels to everything. For some people, you feel it and you move on. It doesn't really develop into a belief. It's just, you know, an incident. But in my case, it wasn't. It was a genuine belief that I wasn't enough. So after going to therapy, I got a really new and fresh perspective on the problem. I could now label it. I understood what it was. Did I fully heal? Did I fully get over it during those couple of sessions? No, but it definitely wasn't at the level that it was when I started. I still had that belief to some extent, but it was nowhere near what it was before. I felt a lot more comfortable. That I started to challenge that belief, and I started to doubt it, to be like, no, that's not true. So once that started, it was kind of like the beginning of my, I guess, healing process, or breaking that belief, if you want to call it. And then when I was doing my hypnotherapy training, I did a session with someone from the course about I'm not enough. And it was only then that I truly found out where this came from, how did it start, and was finally able to break free from it. And I can tell you, when there's something that's been holding you back for so long, they didn't even know about, and it's caused you it's probably affected you more than you even realize. Once you're free of that, it's kind of like that glass has been shattered. You know, you see everything differently. You feel different. I was a lot happier. I was a lot more positive, more optimistic, and I really learned to love who I am regardless. And I knew that I was, you know, capable and not just capable, deserving of being, you know, loved, and I didn't have to prove anything to anyone. And so going through that, really, when I talk about it now and I think back, the most important thing for me is to, you know, love the person I am. And I do now. Are there things that I want to achieve? Are there things I wish I had? Yeah, of course, man. I think everyone does. But I love who I am. I wouldn't want to be anyone else. I, you know, all the my good and all my bad, I take it all, and I'm very happy with that. And I would want to help people get to that stage, because when you do feel this way, you kind of feel, just the way I describe it is calm. You're kind of at peace. You're like, you know, this is who I am. I accept it all. And, you know, everything else that's going to, all the external factors of life, of work, of relationships, that's just, you know, that doesn't change how I think about myself. And I think a lot of people, from the people I've spoken to, don't necessarily feel that way. So I hope this story does help you in some way. Again, hope it helps. to just, I guess, get a new perspective on yourself and mental health and so on. Now, when we talk about mental health, one of the things that I've noticed is we always talk about it from a negative perspective. It's always, even myself, it's just kind of what happens. You know, you don't, if there's no problem to fix, then why do I need to fix anything? That's typically what you think. But mental health isn't something that you address or take care of only when you're struggling. It's something that you should work on every day. It's to keep you in check on the good days and the bad days. So on the bad days, you don't get so low. And on the good days, it just amplifies, you know, how that happiness and how you feel. So I had a woman on the podcast. Her name was Dr. Saliha. I'm sure many of you know her. And she explained it to me in a completely different way. And since then, it gave me a whole new perspective and outlook on mental health. So I asked her, I was like, what's your take on mental health? How can we improve it? What's your perspective? And she's like, Khaled, I hate that word. And I was like, what? I'm like, that, you know, it kind of took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that. And she said, I don't look at it as mental health. I look at it as mental hygiene. And when she said that, it just like it was like my mind was blown. I never looked at it in that way. She's like, think about it. We have our physical hygiene that we do every day to take care of ourselves, like have a shower, brush our teeth, and so on. So she's like, when it comes to mental health, it's the exact same thing. Think of it as mental hygiene. So these are the things I do every day to keep my mental state in a good place, or clean, to use that example. And when you look at it like that, it makes it so much simpler, so much more relatable. You know, if we take care of our physical health every day, then we should also take care of our mental health every day, because they both affect each other. If you're not taking care of your physical health, it's going to affect you mentally. And if you're not taking care of your mental health, it's going to affect you physically. You know, every thought creates a chemical reaction in the body. So that's why when a lot of people talk about, you know, why stress is so bad, what stress is something you feel, but where does stress start? It starts in your head. And then it gets converted into emotion. Then you get that tightness in your chest. And over time, you know, it can be a disaster. It can be very detrimental to your physical health. So that's why I was recently thinking about, I'm like, okay, everyone talks about the stigma behind mental health. There's still a stigma. And that's their goal, to break the stigma. And I was trying to figure out, what is my goal? What am I trying to do with my work and everything I'm doing? I'm like, when it comes to the stigma, I think now there's more than enough information out there. There's papers, there's studies that show you, whether you're an individual or a company, the benefits of, you know, taking care of your mental health. So if you still have a stigma about mental health, one of two things is happening. Either you're choosing to keep that stigma and you're not, you know, going out and looking for, trying to educate yourself and learn, or two, you've never taken a second to ask yourself the question, how is my mental health? What is my mental state of mind? Because if you're unaware, how can you address it? How can you fix it? So my priority isn't to break the stigma. My priority is, again, use this word a lot, is to help people make mental health their number one priority. I've learned how much it's affected my life when I made it a priority. And that doesn't mean that I don't fall off the wagon sometimes. That doesn't mean that sometimes I'll forget to meditate or, you know, do my write in my gratitude journal and so on. But I have a routine. I have something in place that I'll do more often than not to keep my mental health in a good place. Even recently, I was going through a tough time for like a month, and you start to notice it just, but it takes a while. Mental health isn't like a physical, when you're struggling with your mental health, it's not like a physical injury. A physical injury is right in your face. It's instant. You feel it. You can see it sometimes. So it's, you know, your attention on it is immediate. You quickly respond to it and try to fix it. With mental health, it's not something that changes. Your mental health doesn't become bad overnight. It's an accumulation over time. When, you know, one day turns into two, turns into three, and then a week, and then a month. And then before you know it, slowly, you know, you start sinking down into a bad place, and you start having anxiety, you start having depression. You're always stressed, you don't sleep, it affects your eating, no motivation, productivity. The list goes on and on. So that's why mental health, it's even more important to take care of it, is because it's the non-tangible. It's because you can't see it. It's because you're not, it's not something you're aware of. And if you're not taking care of it over time, there's a good chance you'll end up in a bad place, just like I did. That's why I talk about the importance of having a routine, something you can fall back on when, you know, you're struggling, or something, not just when you're struggling, something you can fall back on when you're in a good place as well. The routine is just about keeping you in check. It's about you having like a good foundation. Think of it like that. You have a foundation. So no matter what happens, whether good or bad, we either bounce up from this or we get pulled up to that level if we're, you know, in a bad place. So it's so important. But it's also a choice. If you don't want to do it, just like if you can't force anyone to go to the gym or take care of themselves physically. The same thing when it comes to mental health. I could sit here and for hours and tell you the benefits and what you should do, but you have to do it. It has to come from you. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to, at least I learned in my experience, you have to hit rock bottom, like kind of what COVID did. It kind of made everyone, you know, sit back and have to face whatever they weren't facing. You couldn't see people, you're just in your thoughts, and then you kind of realize, oh, maybe my thoughts aren't so great, and why is that? So sometimes trauma is what causes you to wake up, but the whole point behind what I do, and you know, people out there who are like advocating for mental health and trying to educate people and so on, is to not let you get to that place, because you don't have to. But everyone's different. Some people learn by, you know, hitting rock bottom. Some people can, you know, learn from the mistakes of others and what other people have done. So at the end of the day, the choice is up to you. I would always recommend to take care of your mental health and make it a priority for yourself, because you will see the benefits. You will feel the benefits, and you'll see how every aspect of your life will improve if you are taking care of your mental health. And the most important thing, I think, is behind all of this, is to get help if you need it. And man, even if you don't, you know, I've spoken to people, and I know people that go to therapy, not because they're in a bad place, but because it helps them. So it's not about, you don't need to go to a therapist only like if you're in a bad place. You can go to a therapist even if you're in a good place, but it helps you get a new perspective. It helps you get some things off your chest. It helps you feel better. It helps you let go of some emotions. So if that's what you need to improve your life, whether from if you're in a good state or a bad state, then do it. What's the harm? I don't understand. That's why this whole stigma thing frustrates me, because there isn't one. You're a human being just like I am. So and everyone struggles with their mental health. Unless you're a robot, then you don't. But if you're a human being, I'll bet you anything in the world, not just bet, I know that you have struggled with your mental health at some point. There's different, and when I say struggle, there's different levels to that. So it's not that you were in such a bad place, but I guarantee you there's days that you struggle with your mental health. So it affects all of us. So if it affects all of us, then we should all probably do something about it. When it comes to, I guess, a routine, find what works for you. I learned through trial and error. I tried, God knows, maybe like millions of different types of meditations before I found the one I liked, the one that suited me. And, you know, I tried journaling, I tried gratitude, I tried so many different things. Find what works for you. And most importantly, if you're, you know, starting out fresh, keep it as simple as possible. So, for example, if you're meditating, set it to meditate for like 2 minutes. That's it. Just do that for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Make it a habit. That's what the goal is here. It's not to make it a task that you have to do, but a habit that you do anyway. So that's why if you're starting out, make it as simple as possible. And it should be there to help. It's not there as like a chore, you know. So when I was first starting out, I remember I'm like, I want to meditate, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then I was like, it was too much at once. So it got to the point like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, it became like something, it felt like something I had to do, not something that I want to do for myself. So start small, keep it simple. And coming back to what I said earlier, if you need help, get the help. I'll always, you know, advocate. If you need, like, seek it out. There's no shame in getting help. We all need help. No one is got to where they are, is who they are today, without having help from someone or people along the way. So think about that as the same thing when it comes to like your mental health. It's so important. I'll emphasize this a million times, and it still won't be enough. But again, it is a choice, so the choice is up to you. How I can help? So I'm an RTT therapist, which is Rapid Transformational Therapy, just to give you guys a brief background. So it combines NLP, it combines cognitive behavioral therapy, it combines hypnotherapy, it combines all these different therapies into a structured process. You need between 1 to 3 sessions, and it's rare that people have 3, but everyone's different, so sometimes you need 3, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the beauty of it is that you get to the root of the problem immediately. You know, in one session you understand, where is this coming from, how has it been affecting your life? And once you understand something, then you can fix it. Just like with me, when I was doing when I went to therapy and I didn't know what my problem was, but when I found that out, then I could start tackling it. But with RTT, the beauty of it is that it's immediate. It's instant. It's very fast. And then once you understand what the problem is, we reframe the problem. And I make you a personalized recording that you listen to every day. And it's specifically tailored to you and what you want. So you and no one else in the world will have the same recording. So it's 100% tailored to you and what you need. And you listen to that for 21 days, because it takes 21 days to form a new belief. And that's not me saying it. That's scientifically proven, guys. I promise. You can go look it up yourself if you'd like. So that's what I do. That's how I can help you. But I say this not so you come to me. I say this. This is just what I can do. If you think that there's other forms of help that would benefit you more, please go out and do it. You know, there's no problem with that. As long as you're getting the help you need, that's all I care about. And I'm just here if you need it. And if that's something that you'd like. I think that's what's most important at the end of the day. If you can help one person, or you can encourage one person to get help, and you know they have a complete transformation, it's, when I've worked with my clients, it's the most beautiful and fulfilling thing in the world to see someone, you know, we finish the session and to look at someone and to be like, for them to be like, Khaled, I never knew, I've repressed this memory, I never knew about that, now I understand, it all makes so much sense. It's a beautiful feeling, and it makes the work I do mean so much to me. So like I said before, if you can't understand the problem, you can't fix it. So I think I'll end it there, guys. I think that's a good way to round off this episode. So just in summary, get the help you need, make mental health a priority, and I hope now you have a new perspective on mental health. Remember, it's not mental health, it's mental hygiene. And I hope that is helpful to you. I want to say thank you to Umore for sponsoring this episode and for our partnership. Super excited about this. And guys, you can always, you can find them on the App Store, anywhere, just download it. It's free, and I'm sure it will give you at least a good starting point to start taking care of your mental health and monitoring it on a daily basis. Until next time, guys, much love, and as always, hope it helps. Peace.